Hello, and welcome to a fairly special episode of Crafted for You. We are back at Natty Greens, sitting in the brew house this time. With me is my wonderful co-host,
the Brew Shaman, what's up?
And our beautiful producer.
It's Alyssa, hey guys.
I don't know your full name, you're Adam.
That's crazy. Yeah, so it's Adam Glover,
okay.
Also known as Cloudy. Yeah.
Which is not, you're not anything I pictured from, like, all the extensive, like, comedic stories.
We were just at Beer Co., and she's like, her and Hannah, which is Jordan Miller's
wife.
Wow, I almost said fiance, that would have been weird. They're like, they're just picturing some, like, older guy, because everyone with, like, a nickname is, like, an older person, like Uncle Mike.
Sort of, but I mean, even at Natty Greens, the ladder has a nickname, like a hose has a nickname, so to say where's Larry or where's, you know, Felicia, it's like, that's only reference to, like, I want to know where the hose and where the ex-centrifuge is at.
So inanimate objects get, like, people names.
They get people names, too, just like cats, so it's as funny as to say, hey, I'm tired of Randy pissing in my house. If you didn't know that Randy was my cat, you would think my roommate is pissing in my house.
I've had that roommate.
That's similar to something that happened to me in college.
Yeah.
But,
anyway.
Yeah.
But Adam is...
His beard is totally worthy of all the comedic stories.
Yeah. No, yeah. You are better than whatever I could have, like, imagined in my mind. So don't think you've let me down. I don't want it.
Oh, Jeff, what is he?
But he works at Appalachian Mountain Brewing Company.
He does. Mm-hmm. He's got the hat on to prove it.
Yeah. Which is confusing with your Fonte Flora sweatshirt, but...
It's actually perfect timing, so with our next release for our seasonal can, it will be Baba Boudin. It's actually a collaboration with Fonte Flora.
Awesome.
This collaboration is dated back before actually Fonte Flora was an actual brewery. So with Todd being a brewer for Fonte Flora, coming to Appalachian, that progression has led to this point, being that it's been a beer... that's been notarized by the community or by beer drinkers to say, hey, this is popular, we should put it in cans. So this is actually going to be our second seasonal next to our porter, which will be coming out here in the next first or second week of June.
The porter was fantastic. We drank that on a recent podcast.
We've had a few things.
And
it comes out the second week. I mean, perfect time for my birthday. I would love that.
Man, it was just birthday for you.
Yeah.
I mean, now we need to add like a little candle on the logo.
Yeah, man, that'd be great. Or just like stick a candle in the tab, you know, so you're going to blow out a candle and drink my beer.
That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Now I know what we're doing for your birthday. Good.
Baba Banana 4-pack birthday.
What's better than that? You did bring beer with you.
I did bring some beers with me. We'll crack them open as we go along, but...
Okay.
One thing that I mentioned, actually, I do have some trial batch. Actually, it's just now currently on tap. This is as fresh as it gets.
I like that.
This is kegged and carbonated yesterday of the Baba Boudin that we'll try. But we'll also try our new seasonal, which is Zest Yourself. It's a grapefruit IPA.
I almost bought a keg of that today at Pig Founder.
Oh, you can buy it. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I can get all your beer. We had your,
that's badass.
We had your cider, the rhubarb one.
Yeah.
That shit's good.
Mystic Dragon.
That is awesome.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So, Zest Yourself is a grapefruit IPA. It's 130 pounds per 20 barrels. So we zested, pulped, and juiced. So all those elements are in that batch, utilized on the conditioning side. But relating back to Mystic Dragon as being one of our ciders, that's... one of our core ciders, so it's a green tea strawberry rhubarb cider.
It was so good.
Awesome.
I'm really big on ciders.
Yeah, we went to that keg of work like quick.
It's dry with just like
perfect.
A subtle hint of sweetness, which is like the perfect balance.
Because we always, as brewers at work, we are counterbalancing with our own opinions between each other, but ourselves between dry or sweet. And I think a majority of us tend to draw toward the dry side.
Good.
That's who we are.
And that's what we want. We want to be this, you know, almost French Bordeaux type style cider and portray necessarily our background of our cider rather than a forefront saying that we don't back to you, which we don't. But it's like letting that necessary profile come forward.
That's awesome. I've never encountered a brewery that does both beer and cider. That's kind of unusual.
We just talked about this the other day, actually. Yeah.
With North Carolina, there's not many. I mean, you could necessarily say Wedge and Asheville with Urban Orchard being next door, but I mean, there's a lot of counter breweries saying that they do two sides or three sides with either wine or beer or distilling a beer. Primarily, Mother Earth would come with a beer and a distilled liquor.
Right.
But yeah, cider and both is very intriguing.
Yeah.
They have a distillery now.
I did not know that.
I just found that out like a couple days ago.
I want to try it. I like Mother Earth. Yeah, they're good.
Kingston?
Mm-hmm.
Kingston, yeah.
We'll put that on the list for a trip.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a trip in itself. But if you go there, there's a ton of great places we can talk about afterwards.
Yeah.
You should actually hit up and eat.
Awesome. Well, we were just at an event we've been talking about for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
So if you went back and listened to the episode we did on Tuesday, which was 2 days ago, with Brian here, we just were at the Beer Co. 2 year anniversary, which they had, I think everything on tap when we were just there was local. So it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was Wicked Weed, The Burial, Nettings. Prairie is the only one that's not.
Where are they from?
I'm not sure where Prairie is.
Oklahoma.
There you go.
Okay. Oh. That makes sense.
Okay, yeah. I see.
And Four Saints.
And did you say Liberty?
Liberty, yes.
And Liberty.
Yeah.
And at least two of those beers, Liberty and the Natty Greens beer, were brewed specifically for this party.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, Josh, one of the co-owners of Your Co., came over here where we're sitting at Natty Greens and brewed a batch with Brian.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
The we talked about that one, the Liberty one. It's also very good.
It was hibiscus. It was unique.
What all was in it?
Lavender, rosebuds, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was soured.
Yeah.
So it tasted like a Sour Patch Kid, but it was floral on the nose.
That's pretty funny you say that, because like hanging out with Todd at the event, Todd basically said the same thing. I don't know if he said it to you as well, but he was like, it's a Sour Patch Kid, but with flowers, which was really fair.
It's really funny. Accurate, yeah.
But
yeah.
I hope that one kicks, because it's actually probably my favorite that's on the list. But I hope it kicks, because we brought a beer as well. It's a Brett Saison aged on pineapples.
What?
So I'm like highlighting one of the Brett profiles, which is a Brett Classini, more so in aromatics and less so on a juice profile. So I don't want people to think pineapple juice, but that the aroma and the flavor is definitely centric toward pineapple, but there's definitely three types of Brett strains in that, and it's about 6 months old.
Nice.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back when they put it on.
Yeah, my only downfall is, I mean, I don't drive a refrigerated truck. I drive a personal vehicle and drop the keg off. I'm glad, but disappointed I didn't make top six, because, I mean, having a Brett beer traveled in my car for an hour and a half, and say, hey, put this on tap immediately and served in a plastic cup is not the most ideal thing. So I'm hoping that one of these kicks, and more than likely, I think it'll probably be Liberty's, even though Wicked Weed's Marion Berry was pretty good too.
They were all, I saw like every one of them like selling like crazy.
Yeah.
I think Liberty was selling the most though.
I would agree.
We tried the whole list, everything was.
We did, between the three of us, which was nice. Yeah. We didn't have to drink all six beers individually, but the three of us. And they were all delicious. I do have to say, as good as the Wicked Weed was, if I were to blind taste test that beer, I could say that's a typical Wicked Weed beer.
It's got that, I've said it for a long time, but the Wicked Weed has just got that flavor to it, and they have a hard time.
A particular sour.
It's good, but they have a hard time breaking out of that specific, it's like, I think it's that front end hit that is very similar.
Which, it's a great beer, but compared to drinking it next to the Liberty beer, which is just so different and out of the norm of anything I would find, I would prefer that beer 10 times over, personally.
So what, you just poured us something in our glasses here.
Yeah, so I poured our next seasonal release, which is Zest Yourself.
Okay.
It's actually Yourself. It's not Yourself.
Y-O.
We keep that slang, yeah.
Nice, I like that.
But This is what I was talking about with the grapefruit. I mean, we use every aspect. It would be pointless to zest
yeah.
it and then to throw away every point to that grapefruit. And so it works dynamically with the hop profile that we do with this. Malt profile is very similar to Longleaf, which is one of our core year-round beers. But we will meticulate that recipe a little bit to balance with the bitterness of grapefruit. So we'll have to change that hop profile somewhat.
Did you use a lot of citrusy hops for this one?
It's not as citrusy as you would think. Hop profile. Hop profile is still Centennial Chinook and Warrior. It's
oh, really?
Nothing what you would think
no,
as very hop profile.
So a lot of that's coming out of it. Did you put fruit in it? I assume that if it's not.
Yeah, so we're talking about the whole grapefruit. It is literally the entire grapefruit except the rind. So when
okay.
I say it gets zested, of course that zest
yeah.
skin gets in it.
Yeah.
But that rind gets peeled.
Everything but the pulp.
The pulp is in there as well.
Oh, from the, okay, yeah, yeah.
That bodied, fleshy
yeah.
part is
yeah.
definitely in there.
Yeah.
And then that juice. So to break this down, 130 pounds, equivalently to how much juice I would say was in it, is about 5 gallons.
Yeah,
for 20
barrels. You don't get a lot of juice.
It's not
a
lot, but it's a lot of fun to put in there, settle, because a lot of these beers, like currently, which is a house favorite that will be our next summer seasonal, which is a cucumber Berliner Weiss, a lot of these profiles are determined by taste. You could say just like souring a beer.
Mm-hmm.
It gets nurtured, it gets meticulated, but in the end, we have to taste sample, as bad as it sounds, to say, hey, this hit an exact ripe or peak point, and it has to be kegged. And I jokingly talk about this beer sometimes. Another one of our brewer in Colonel, Nathan, when I talk about this beer, he has the palate to say this is where it should be. Because this originally, just like some beers, started out very small batch, 15 gallons. And it was something where we just took longleaf, added some grapefruit, threw it on for a special bin, flew out the window. And they're like, man, we should actually do this in large scale. And with the season growing toward fruit, it just kind of makes sense. But he definitely has the determining factor of determining when it be before it becomes too bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made a second test batch, and I was kind of like, well, I'm going to forget it for what he said. I don't have the time to take this out and put it in another keg. I'm going to let it sit. Of course, it changed a little bit. It wasn't as great. And so I was joking with another one of our owners, and I was like, I think he needs to just camp out by the tank. Because we'll sample about every couple of hours and be like, try it.
Every
and
15
it like,
minutes. Just,
and it's like, you need to just probably stay. It's like after 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the afternoon, you're just going to have to stay tonight. Because what happens if at 11 o'clock at night, it's really good. You can just call us and we'll come keg it. But luckily, timing worked and it came
awesome.
To the point.
Yeah, it's got a nice sweetness from the fruit. It's definitely got that rind zest to it, giving it some bitterness. It's awesome. It's very, like we were saying earlier, like juicy. This is
juicy.
When I hear the word juicy in relation to beer, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Like pretty much just like biting into whatever fruit it is. Like.
Yeah. But and that bitterness at the end is the perfect like grapefruit character with the hops. Because and I love grapefruit. If you ever drink grapefruit juice, like it's really sweet at the front and then right at the end you kinda go because it had that bite to it, and it's just so well-rounded.
For sure. Yeah, we definitely wanted to achieve the aspect that it was very organic. It was in the flavor from aroma to final finish. And, I mean, we could have just done the zest, so we could have just got aroma, or we could have just used juice, and we could have got that final flavor. But it's like, when it ultimately comes down to it, if any brewer has time to utilize their time but also ingredients, it's well worth it in the end to just do the whole entire process, because there's nothing less achieving to say I skip something in the very final part and be like, man, this is not what I wanted. You worked so hard to brew it. You fermented. I mean, you could say it was a lager. You lagered. I mean, you waited so long, and then it could be broke apart by bad carbonation or a bad finishing conditioning, and it'd be like, it ruined that entire time that I wanted to have this beer. So, I mean, when we think about that, we have to think about it in the long term. So everything that we do, A and B, we'll plan ahead. So we'll make these small batches, but a small batch to us is 20 barrels. Our brew house and our community in Boone, or people that travel to the city of Boone, we can go through that batch of beer, but our important part is that we get the feedback from everyone in that community. Like, what do you think about it? I can get an input, it's too bitter or it's too sweet. And we'd be like, well, what factors are causing that? And we'll break it down. So when it gets back into the market and it travels down the mountain, and it gets to a place like here in Greensboro, it can be at the perfect spot. So that means your spot where it says it's not too bitter, or it makes your spot where it's not too sweet. And we've met that balance, hopefully, and we'll achieve more of a balance toward everyone.
So not only are you using your brewery and everyone in there, but you're also using your community to perfect exactly what you have. That's amazing.
It makes sense because, I mean, part of our profile, our mission statement, is three dynamic parts, and it's community, philanthropy, and sustainability. So we're using everything. So we're being a community and getting in the part that we put in the beer. We're sustainability because of how we utilize that grapefruit. But our philanthropy is when we put it back, and we say that this gets sold, and that every percentage of, if it's a can or if it's a keg, every percentage, if it's sold through a distributor or in our house, it goes back to a nonprofit in our state.
That's
so
awesome.
It stays all
that's
within
crazy.
North Carolina.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, you don't find that a lot with breweries. Especially putting your money where your mouth is. So you're doing it. You're actually doing what
right.
you say you're doing on the can.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I'm sure there's a lot that say that and they don't actually do it.
There's nothing less to say. I mean, all cans are going to be recyclable. Hopefully, 99.9%.
Yeah.
But to say that we're 99.9 or 100% back into the community is no bullshit. I mean, that is legit as it gets, but it's going beyond the beer. We want to be a brand that is recognized both beer and with the community. I mean, there's respect for both of those, but it draws someone back into it. Because with so many breweries coming within the state, people are going to keep trying the new beers. But it's like, what draws them back? Of course, it could be taste. But ultimately for us, for Appalachian Mountain Brewery, we have a huge connection with ASU that draws people into it. But if there's something that's like, man, they gave back to a foundation that I have a connection to, I'm going to be totally wholehearted into that as compared to saying I'm wholehearted in a beer. There's not many beers I can say I'm wholehearted into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys do a lot of, like, great events within your community and the brewery?
So we host a fair amount of events just to draw back within the recent amount of time. It's funny. So we did a cookie eating contest.
Yes. That's awesome.
So recently we've been working with Appalachia Mountain Cookie Company, which I feel like is the cocaine creator of Willy Wonka. Because they make these fucking crack cookies. I'm literally saying crack cookies. Because I didn't believe it at first. Because people were like, you have to try these cookies. I'm like, what's a cookie?
It's a cookie, yeah.
But they're like, no, I buy a dozen and I'm eating the dozen. And I was like, oh, this is fine. You know, I'm going to get it or whatever. But no, I tried them. And they are pretty addictive. And so we worked with them. And upcoming, we're actually going to do a collaboration with the cookie company. And we'll do a kind of a pairing or a side-by-side or try to mix it in. But anyways,
that sounds
we had
awesome.
A cookie eating contest, and then we had a band play called Goodnight Texas. You'll have to look it up, but once you hear Goodnight Texas kind of famous song, you're like, holy fuck, I know who the hell they are. Anyways, it was like a media. So we had a cookie eating contest that raised benefits, and then we had like a band that played, and then it was just kind of set, but it was very odd because like we do trivia every Tuesday. And I was sad to miss it, but, like, we have randomly Scotty McCreary. You know who Scotty McCreary is? You can make the odd face.
He's American Idol.
Yeah, so he's like American Idol season 10 winner. I only know he's season 10 winner because someone else was like, who is this? And then they were like, oh, he's season 10 winner. And they were like, oh, man, you know, we should give him some swag. And I'm like, no, he should give us some Bojangles. Because as North Carolina as I am, I'm huge on Bojangles. I better get some Bojangles.
But anyway, he sold his record through Bojangles, right? That was the whole thing.
I think he had to sing at least a Bojangles song or something.
Yeah, there was something. Like, oh, he did the commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the commercial with the race car. Oh.
But apparently, he played trivia. I won't say how he did, even though I've heard how he did. But anyways, he was there. So I mean, we get like this accumulation of like odd events. But with, I mean, even like a band like Goodnight Texas, they played a brewery 3 years ago, kind of when the brewery was up and coming, and they were kind of up and coming. But, I mean, we've done numerous, you know, nonprofit events, if it's, you know, with the Humane Society, with Wax for Tails, or if it's housing for the local community. I mean, I'm surprised how much money gets drawn back because people believe Boone to just be tourism. But being there, I've seen this influx of just local community that's willing to give, who are just people that just stay there, who have some connection to something, and that's where I talked about, you'll find yourself being more connected to the brewery or the beer being wholeheartedly because there's that the idea that you're giving back while doing something that you love to do.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the best thing you could do in your life.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, I mean, when people say you have a dream job of brewing, I'm like, yeah, it's a dream job of brewing. But in the end, I mean, yeah, you get to do what you do. But it's like, what are you doing it for? I mean, just to be here in the brew pub in this spot and being through like a plexiglass window.
Yeah.
You could be hauling your ass, pulling out spent grain right at the busiest lunch hour, and people just want to stare at you through the window. But after that, and you look back at the bar and see someone drinking, and they take that first sip or they get that look, and they're like, oh my God, like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
If you could bank that and say there was a value to it, it would be totally worth a paycheck in its own.
Yeah.
And so it's just that idea that you've created something. But if you could add on to that and say that you put in type of investment, the word you fed more involvement than just a smile from drinking an alcoholic beverage, or you put a smile on someone's face because they got money regenerated to them to feed them food, that insanely would be a million times greater. You just couldn't count it.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's realistically what it's become, and it's something I didn't knew I'd be a part of. But since I am, it's something that I wanted to achieve. If it was Beard and Mustache Club here in Greensboro, the only reason I joined that is because they had a connection toward an organization to fund it that had a connection toward me. So I was like, well, you're with ALS. My father had ALS. So I'm like, well, we're two and two. I want to grow my beard and keep growing it. You're a bearded community, so you give back to nonprofits and you support beards. You already won me over. I've had a beard since. One reason to get into brewing so I can keep a beard. But the same mentality to put back to nonprofit hasn't stopped.
That's perfect.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can't get over the fact that these people, I don't know if anybody on the podcast can hear us or not. I hope you guys can. But there's this like loud banging coming down from above us.
And it's where they...
So the downfall is the downfall is that we're like right below the pool table.
Yeah, and the clearly I guess they're like banging pool sticks on the ground, but they're off time. That's the biggest part.
Yeah, it's like two musicians.
Yeah.
It's like even worse.
Shit. So we just cracked open another can.
Yeah, so we opened kind of a popular favorite, Spodioti, which is our pale ale. It's actually an oatmeal pale ale.
This is the can that I recognize you guys.
I've been eyeing this one up a lot.
Yeah, so Spodioti, there's two names of reference for sure. There's an old bluegrass song, but I mean, personally, and for us as brewers, we're big Outkast fans. We're big old school hip hop fans. So Spodioti, Hopalicious, just like Spodioti, Dopalicious.
Yeah, nice.
We're big fans, but this is primarily a beer that we wanted to throw into the mixture that we were comfortable with, but it is actually skyrocketing because we were very hesitant about it. We actually wanted, secretly and publicly right now, we wanted the porter to be a core beer because porter was one of those popular year-round beers.
Yeah.
People are going to probably be sad to see that after porter and seasonally, and Bobby Bonin kicks in, you're like, well, where's the porter at? People shouldn't fear because the porter is going to always be in Boone. If you want the porter, we will still make it. We still can it in Boone. It just won't be in your local market to get
right,
it more.
Yeah.
But Spodey is side by side with Longleaf. You know, you have a pale ale and you have an IPA. When you talk about hopheads, it's like, what do they want? But as things grow with IPAs or pale ales, people's palates are driven towards certain sides. So some people like a lighter, crisper. Some people want a maltier, fuller, bitter. So we try to achieve both, and it's fun to see the nuances between the two.
Yeah, it's very smooth. It's really funny because Jeff and I have a very different palate to IPAs than Chris does.
Yes.
Who is drawn towards like the super malty, and we're not so much. So we have like always. It's nice to have a difference of opinion and a nice little debate when we try beers on the podcast and things like that. Yeah, and it keeps us well-rounded, that we're not always drawn to like a specific style or a specific
beer. When we go out and we go drinking, because we can all grab something differently off the menu
that
we actually
and then
really
everybody
want.
Gets to try everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, this
has got some like fruitiness to it. Is that coming through from the hops?
It could come from the hops. This is actually when we talk about citrusy hops, with grapefruit IPA.
I don't know what that person said.
That one I'm sure everybody can hear. They're trying to like, start a riot or something.
So yeah, we're like right underneath wherever they're playing because we're in the press. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but anyway.
So citrusy hops.
It does have citrus hops. So Citra and Amarillo, definitely predominant for citrus profile. Equivalent to that.
Pick up your pole stick and play pool and like stab it. No, that's... I'm sorry. No, I really like this. And it's not overly bitter. It's kind of, and I think it's a little rounded with the, you guys added notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like that because we've been talking about doing that with our next pale, and we've had a couple of pale ales, like Hot Rivers.
Yes.
They use oats in theirs too. And it
yeah.
kind of just smooths out that bitterness.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's
and
really good.
Ryan used oats in the beer, the first beer we drank
two days ago. Yeah, he used it in his foxtail.
In his foxtail.
Yeah.
The Belgian
blonde ale. Or Belgian pale ale.
Yeah, that was really good. I think everyone's starting using oats now.
I like the oats.
Oats are definitely a rounding factor for sure. Like I said, it will cut down bitterness.
Also give you a little head retention too.
Don't be surprised to see like rice or a barley or a flake barley, but something that builds a kind of a head retention but a well-rounded profile.
Yeah.
Pause for sipping.
Yeah. Usually when there's a little bit of a lull, it's because we want to drink. Yeah, but this is great.
People at home can drink too.
Yeah, when we pause, we hope you're drinking with us. That's the way to do it, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you get into the beer industry?
So there's always like a long story, short story.
Yeah.
So hopefully I build a medium story.
Okay.
So like... beer industry influence. So, like, I'm from Hickory, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I grew up with Hickory Hops.
Yeah.
I think they had their 14th annual beer festival.
Okay.
I've been to every one but two, which was like 1 and 10.
Okay.
One, I was like, this just sounds ridiculous. A beer festival. This just sounds like a drunkard. Like, I'm that guy that didn't drink till 21. I was that dude who put like the X on his hand. I'm straight edge kid.
Yeah.
As soon as like 21 came and there was like an opportunity, I was like, fuck it, I'll try it.
Why
not? You know,
yeah.
There's no one else holding me back. I was done a little bit with music, but anyways. So yeah, my actually cousin-in-law was the doorman here at Natty's.
Okay.
When they kind of first opened.
Yeah.
And so he worked the festival there, and he's like, hey man, just come by, we'll come out to the festival. He let us in, you know, being family, and then we tried it. And I was actually really lucky. So if we think about 12 years ago, 2004, it was just like, I tried my first Russian Imperial Stout, I tried my first double IPA, maybe my first sour ale. I'm like, holy fuck, like, what are these beers? Like, I seriously was in love.
Those are three beers that totally are atypical. That
yeah.
You try that, and you're like, this is not Budweiser. What is this?
Oh, you not head first in. Like,
oh,
yeah.
it was crazy.
Yeah. You didn't start like because
it was like
no
with,
Sam Adams
with like old Hickory.
Like,
I was like, I like Ruby Lager, and I'll always forever like Ruby Lager.
Pause.
Okay, unpause. Sorry guys. A big metal thing was doing a hissy thing and louder than us, so we're back. Right, that's pretty much.
He's ultimately a hissy thing.
Yeah.
I would call him that. we settled over beer and arm wrestling, and
so,
oh yeah, the guy upstairs.
So he just Adam just stopped the pull cue slamming above us.
It's not that hard. You pretend you'll buy their beers, and then they're like, oh yeah, more beer. I'm like, I'm gonna go now. That's not on me. I don't know you. Especially a Rolling Rock t-shirt, I definitely don't know.
Oh, wow.
That's to the guy I'm going to say I beat in arm wrestling, though, because he actually had the bigger muscles.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So we were talking about your start into the brewing industry.
Oh, yeah. So so where would I be?
You knew some some people here. You knew the bouncer.
Oh yeah, so my cousin Lon, Hickory Hops, and then tried some beers that I like. Grew up in Hickory. I like Ruby Lager, but still, it still took a ton of time to get back into it. Sucker with me.
Dude, you go beat him in another arm wrestling competition.
I'm too exhausted. I woke up at 4 this morning to start brewing at 5, so.
Oi.
Oh, man.
It'll happen again tomorrow. But,
the arm wrestling competition?
No, if he comes home with me, he's got to bring something more than arm wrestling. But, he could bring a good movie because I don't have jack shit at home. I don't have internet or a TV. He better bring a TV too.
Oh,
which I'm actually pretty happy with. I have a good record collection. But anyways, so getting into the brewing industry, long story short, and liking beer, it definitely took a while. You know, just like anything you do with beer, even with like this podcast, you build a community and you find some friends that have similar interests. And that's the way it happens, you know. Texas Hold'em got big, you play poker, you find some, you know, unique beers, you come and you share them. But with the idea that beer was going to be big, it wasn't like it is now. It's just like, hey, there's craft beer. Well, the word craft beer wasn't even the word craft. It was just like, hey, there's an odd beer that's not Bud.
Yeah.
And it could be like a Sam Adams, you know, cherry wheat. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm fucking excited about this. Which I truly am, and I truly was. And I still think it's a great beer, but the idea that there was like a homebrewer that could have won an award to get to that point, that still that idea wasn't there. But long story short, to get into it, is that ultimately, you know, you keep growing that progression, and then it came when I actually moved to Greensboro and drawing back into the beer club. We actually had a beer club meeting at a bar that's not open in Greensboro anymore that had very eccentric beers. That were craft beer styles presented in proper glassware. And then talking about proper glassware, I'm like, holy cow, what are we talking about? Holy glass, or you know, great glassware. And so it came down to the point where it was like, it's gonna be locked. So our bar manager,
we don't want any.
Doug's trying to get in. He's got a key to everything in here.
He's got a key to the whole place.
Unpause. Sorry.
Unpause. We're back. We have Natty Green.
We're very popular today.
Yeah, everyone wants to see us or like take photos of us creepily, which is like, I guess.
That's kind of the brew pub atmosphere where we're held up by a plexiglass window like a zoo animal.
Yeah,
they're like, what
we're
are you
on,
doing?
On display.
But they can actually kind of almost open the door and like throw food at us, which is beer. Like this chick. She's gonna come in.
She's laughing at us.
so many like crude jokes I want to say. But anyways, so go back into what we were talking about, getting back into the industry. And long story short, so becoming back interested in beer, so I ended up getting a job at this place. Actually, I started out being a bouncer. So imagine me with a shorter beard and I have to stand kind of tough and say, you can't get in.
Okay.
But it's not that big of a bar. It's only like 50 people literally can get in there.
Yeah.
It's also a coffee house, so people are getting coffee and beer. I'm like, as soon as someone leaves, you can get in. We had musicians. So, you know, long story short, a bartender would fall out. I would get in, bar back, be a bartender, be a head bartender. All this made sense, and it made me give a chance to learn about beer. It also gave me a chance to earn an extra income so I could spend it more on beer. So we would get awesome beers in, you know, those Evil Twin or McKellar, or Golden Drop, beers that no one else in the market was buying, and we're the only ones in Greensboro. Now people would fight hand over fist to fucking get these beers. So it's like, well, I can spend this extra income on tips, on money, buy extra beer. Then you start researching, just like any beer industry, you get in contact with sales reps, you get in contact with brewers, you get in contact with people in the industry. So it's like, well, shoot, I got in contact with people about Beer Advocate. You'd help write a couple articles, invest into putting some photography back into it. And you're like, well, man, this is really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then it was like, I got really close to the people with New Belgium. I'm like, I really like your brand. I really like your program. I'm going to go to a couple events and kind of met through them through social media. So when Instagram kind of kicked off, it was like, well, you become friends with a couple people. And it's odd with Instagram when you meet people, that you're friends with on Instagram and then you meet in real life because you'll yell out their screen name.
Yeah, which I
still have never done, but people will yell to me.
I've seen it happen.
They're like, oh my God, beer and barbecue. Oh my God, I met you. And I'm like, oh, this is creepy. Who are you? You're Kevin Smith 07. One of those names is real. But anyways, so you meet him, and I met him at an event in Raleigh, had great connections, connected it back into Beer to Mustache Club through nonprofit, and you're like, man, this is great. We would love for you, you know, to help, you know, roll out our program, be at events, and help pour some beers. I'm like, oh, that'd be great. I'd love to work events. So I ended up working a lot of events for New Belgium, studied a product, just like anyone hopefully would. And I'm like, man, I'm having a lot of fun talking about beer and being a part of beer. But I get that occasional question of like, do you brew beer? And I'm like, no. I've never homebrewed because as much work that I do as a normal job and then as a side job, I don't have time to basically homebrew.
Right.
And so after a period of time, which would be 4 years, I'm like, man, I need to make this decision. And so ultimately made that decision and broke it down between a couple of breweries, and I chose Natty Greens and because they were going to give me the greatest opportunity to get where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And truthfully, when I came to them, I got the phone call for a second interview while my daughter was being born.
Mm-hmm.
I had no job. I was serious about being brewing. I didn't answer it, but as soon as she was born, afterwards, I made that phone call, and I was like, hey, I would be there for an interview, literally almost within the day, or the day after.
Yeah.
I came there with not having a shower for a couple of days, hospital bracelet. I'm like, I'm this serious. I want to be in the brewing. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But in the end, I laid it out flat. I'm like, I'm only want to be here for 2 years because I want to work at New Belgium.
Yeah.
Because I worked with them for so long.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to brew for them.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you telling me this? So if I don't tell you this, then I'm going to be hiding it from you the entire time.
Right.
Yeah.
And
this
is not going to be truthful, and I'm not going to experience what I want. And they're like, we respect that. But they saw what I want to do.
Yeah.
So when people talk about me about brewing, do you love brewing? I'm like, yeah, I fucking love brewing. I questioned it one day in my entire life. And that was my first day on the job. Why? And I was like, I started July 29th of like 2013. And I was like washing black mold off like a 60 barrel fermenter. And there's like 24 of them. And I'm like, really? Like, what am I doing? I'm sweating my ass off. I'm making 20% what I made at my other job that I basically left for just so I can get into brewing. And everyone that I'm working with doesn't even want to talk about beer.
Yeah.
And I got to clean black mold in the hottest day ever.
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
My wife was like, you're going to have to fucking live with this. This is your job. You don't have another job.
You
you're gonna
did
have to
this.
Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I ultimately stuck with it. And kind of, yeah, in 2 years, there's been an opportunity to work for where I want to work for. But as you progress for anything that you do, you learn more stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you realize more ultimately that you want to do. If I had to tell anyone right now what you want to do in 2 years, if you did exactly what you did in 2 years, you'd be a small percentage.
Yeah.
But to say that you did something very close to that,
yeah.
you could most likely do.
Yeah.
And I would hope that for what I've done is where I'm at. And what I said was, yeah, I want to be a head brewer, but I want to work for New Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a brewer. I've been a head brewer. But I'm at a brewery that I fucking love, and I can make beers that I want to make.
Yeah.
I can't say that for a lot of things, especially being...
Support your ethics, support your lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not making any compromises where you are.
But I'm also like this oddity when people are like, so did you homebrew? I'm like, no, I've never homebrewed. They're like, oh, so was your first batch of beer? Well, it's actually my second favorite beer, which is Buckshot Amber.
Wait, so, okay, this came up the other day, because I mistakenly asked Brian.
Right.
Yeah. I mistakenly asked Brian if his first batch of beer was brewed on a commercial system, but he was on the test pilot system, so it wasn't quite. But was your first batch of beer just on a commercial system?
Yeah, 20-barrel.
That is
20-barrel
awesome.
System of my favorite beer. So I can say, like, I mean, I would love for it to have been Ruby Lager, but I would have had to say in Hickory.
Ruby Lager is good.
But it was like, it's Buckshot Amber. It's a very good comparable, but it was a beer that I've, you know, become a favorite of. And that was literally my first batch of beer that I got to brew on a commercial sign system.
That's
awesome.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I wish I could
awesome.
Say that.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
But I mean, your story is equally as you built yourself up.
Yeah, we did.
I went grassroots.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's funny because what you're saying, that conversation that you had with your wife about this is a decision you made, and I feel like Jeff and I recently had like a very similar conversation because I moved down here, and about 2 weeks after I moved down here, Jeff was offered the position at Natty Greens, and we actually were offered our jobs at the same time. I moved down here with no job, a lot of prospects, but no job, which was a little scary. We were fortunately enough in a position where Jeff could take the job in the warehouse, which, as most people can guess, didn't pay very much. And recently, Jeff switched positions. He was at Total Wine for a little bit.
But like, I paid my dues. Like, that's...
Oh yeah. But
absolutely.
That's what it is. You have to work yourself up.
Definitely have to put it in, because I mean, you can't get to the ultimate goal instantly.
Yeah.
It's so hard to just jump in and be like, I want to brew.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm a home brewer. Let me brew.
He didn't get drafted from high school. He had to pay his dues. He just didn't get field time until he had a commercial system.
Well, where I'm going with this story is Jeff took a position at Total Wine thinking it would be great. It wasn't exactly what we thought. It was paying better. And then he was offered a position at Pig Pounder that was better. You know, comparable pay, back in the industry, and he questioned. He goes, should I really take this job? And I said, I did not live through a year and a half of you making $8.50 an hour at Natty Greens for you not to stay in the industry. That is the path that you're on. That's the path we chose. And I'd rather you be in the industry you want and be happy with the position than you go to work and make a lot of money and be miserable every day.
Yeah, because I mean, in the end, when you come home and you're like more excited that you did something, even though you can make less, that result of life for living is way greater.
I completely agree.
And it's like, you always have to live with yourself and what you do. Why not do something great that you like doing if you can afford, quote unquote afford.
Hey, sorry, the cold liquor tank went up again.
The choppiest episode. I love it.
We're in part.
It's a homebrew episode.
Yeah,
it's very homebrew.
This is where you gotta get like commercials that pay
for your
podcast.
And more people taking photos of us.
And you're like, hey,
man.
This is presented to you by Slim Jim.
Yeah.
I feel like we just need like a poster. Like on, like right where you are, like a poster.
I hold your business card right here.
Recording right now.
So anyway, when we went off air, you were saying you're kind of jealous of the fact that you didn't get to homebrew.
Yeah, so just like a jealousy to say that I need to backtrack to learn the progression from homebrewing. And it's not a bad sense to say that. But some people will be like, well, what are you talking about? You want to learn homebrewing. You do all these big batches of beer. You do really good big batches of beer, saying that it's bigger than 15 gallons. I'm like, no, there's a nuance, there's a culture, there's a value to everything that you do. And if homebrewers looking up at professional brewers, they can tell me that story, but it's like, I need to wear the sheep's clothing to be understanding what they're doing.
You feel like you just like didn't pay your dues?
I wouldn't say necessarily didn't pay my dues, because paying dues is a standard that's held by different people.
Right.
I got in the industry because I had the knowledge.
Yeah.
Did I have the physical knowledge? No. Mm-hmm. And so that's different. So I pay my dues on the, mentality
side. Yeah, yeah.
But to say physically, no, I didn't. I didn't have to bust my ass over buying equipment and stealing a keg and a temperature pump on there. I didn't have to do that.
I've never stolen a keg ever before.
No homebrewer has ever stolen a keg.
Well, why would you do that? That's
but if I was to ever steal a keg, there's certain kegs I would love to fucking have.
Yeah, our kegel is an Trogs Brewing. Okay. Yeah.
That's why you
find
a great relationship with Trogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you have, you're like, hey, I want this keg, but it's also because I have a relationship to it. So
exactly.
You're not stealing a keg if you paid the deposit.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
It found its way to us.
It found its way
keg
to Natty Greens. And
there's several kegs that do that.
MicroStar, we fucked up.
Not my fault.
Where is
not my
problem.
Hey, we love Trogs beer. Trogs
beer.
We drink
awesome.
It often.
Awesome.
We've
that's
been
exactly
there.
Exactly why you're keg.
Do you know how many of our temperature probes Jeff has ruined by accidentally dropping them in the boil?
Not dropping them.
Or
dipping it too far.
Dipping them too far.
Dipping them too far.
Yeah. It should be just the
tip. We talk about this beer? What beer is this?
So we poured Babu Bedan many pauses ago of the Coffee IPA collaboration with Bob.
That was really
okay,
great.
That's Coffee IPA. I was getting that smokiness,
so,
but I was like, this doesn't look the right color to taste
so
like.
So I was really confused. I thought we were still drinking that. And I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, I smell coffee. And I don't know where it's coming from.
Oh, yeah.
You're having a stroke.
And then when I told her, I was like, it smells like coffee in here.
And I gave him a confused look. I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
That makes perfect sense.
But yeah, that was...
This is delicious. I've never had a coffee IPA before.
Oh, perfect.
This is amazing.
I want to say we're like a step ahead of the curve on some things. I mean, we're behind the curve with Grapefruit IPA, but we utilize grapefruit in its right aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were ahead of the curve. Like I said, when we first did Coffee IPA, it was almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
And now, even in North Carolina... I was just told today, doing multiple events and tastings, it was like, you know, Southern Pines, they have one, which is smart, they call it a breakfast IPA.
Right, yeah.
Perfect.
But there's other coffee IPAs, for sure. That's
this
great.
It sort of tastes like the inverse of like a black IPA, whereas instead of having that malt forward, it's hop forward, but you still have that, not malty because it's coffee, but that darker flavored tone to it.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Weird color taste spectrum.
Yeah, but with hands. Yes.
Yeah,
I can't see
my.
Every time I talk about it, it's like a Jacob's ladder of hands.
Yeah, I was picturing like a pinwheel, and it was like, so it's like a video podcast, or hand motions would be football.
Well, I equate things because a lot of beer flavor.
A really bright picture.
A lot of beer flavor has to do with not. Explicitly, but it tends to have a lot to do with the color of the beer. And so I tend to think of light beers as higher and dark beers as lower.
That's what was interesting when you talked about a smoky beer. You'd probably think it was going to be a darker beer.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But it's the profile of an IPA, and that's what it should be. I mean, it's always an IPA, it just has coffee in it.
I just really like that deep base on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So again, this kind of goes back to when we talked about Grapefruit IPA, and we particularly a recipe to complement and, you know, pair with the bitterness of the hops. Well, with coffee, it's kind of the same way. We can talk in astringency, we can talk in bitterness about
and
coffee.
And coffee is inherently bitter, so it's not, it makes sense that you would have a complementary bitter to it.
Exactly.
You can, but you could have an over-bittering profile of like cold extract coffee or whole bean coffee, or, you know, there's different variables.
How did you guys actually do it then?
This method is actually a whole bean coffee. It actually kind of go against my constitution, which is my ratios or standards for what coffee does to the beer. And for what it does for whole bean, it doesn't change that much color. It does give great aroma, and it gives a complementary taste.
Yeah.
I think if we were to do a cracked method, and we just open those beans up a little bit, there'd be more of a, you could say, astringent profile.
Seems like it would
coffee.
Be overbearing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it just the way it was.
So
was
doing
awesome.
The whole bean actually works. And you can't say, like, oh, every IPA needs whole bean.
Right.
Or every amber
needs
cracked bean.
A lot of it depends on,
So it's a balance act. And it's funny when people come to me and you're like, man, you're the coffee beer guy. Well, I'm only the coffee beer guy because I've done, like, 12 different coffee beers.
Yeah.
I did an event that was co-hosted with the roaster that I use in Charlotte at Queen City Beer Fest, Matt Yarmie of Pure Intentions, and I did 4 draft pours, and I did 2 firkins of all coffee beers. I paired them with donuts, and I paired them with fucking cake.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
yum.
I did every variable that I could under the sun, and I found different achievable methods, and I wanted the coffee bean representable, and I want the beer to be representable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is the way it came out to be. So using our local roasters and with our beer, each side gets represented in every way.
Yeah. Well, I will hopefully not preemptively give that beer the Crafted For You seal of approval.
No, that is.
Because that is.
It is wonderful.
I would agree.
As coffee drinkers.
As we all three of us are.
Yeah.
We like coffee. We like weird beer. And that is fantastic.
Cool.
Crack it up in another bottle.
So, As the A&B had its third year anniversary on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And it's time to be our third year anniversary. When we were complaining about the idea of what we wanted to do, the brewery had a beer called Corruption.
Okay.
It's an Imperial Oatmeal Stout.
Yeah.
But the name Corruption is actually taken by DC Brown.
Okay.
It's actually an IPA. So we couldn't use Corruption anymore, so we wanted to call it Edge of a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Edge of a Dream is actually a rock climbing area out near Boone.
Mm-hmm.
And but because it was 3 years, we had to go a little bit bigger. So we're going to say, fuck it. We're going to do three different variants of it.
Okay.
So we did a barrel-aged beer, various between French and American oak.
Yeah.
We did a spiral age, which is Defiant Whiskey Spirals, which is locally on stainless. And then we did a spiral age, the one that we cracked open right now.
Okay.
Spiral age is base beer, is the barrel age mixture.
Yeah.
But then it has coffee, has vanilla bean, has tarragon, has cardamom.
He's talking my language right now.
Yeah.
Vanilla bean and a subtle cayenne pepper background.
Okay.
So this is spiced age edge of a dream.
Okay.
This is like our last three of the variants for what we did. We released all these on our anniversary party, threw them all on draft. We only released them at the brewery. But, I mean, it's a very special beer. I mean, we have people from the past who still like Corruption. But we partaked in, you know, like I said, we took a step further, and we did a couple of different variants, and this is definitely one of my favorites, for sure. But each one, I you know, like, people change their palate over time. We'll go back and forth.
Awesome.
But
the head on this, it's
oh, I didn't
a
get
solid, wow, everybody, okay. Everybody else has about a solid quarter inch of, like, Not quite that nitro head, because
but
it's clearly
carbonated.
It's that nice thick, dark beer head.
There you go.
Just go shake weight it.
Oh yeah.
Don't shake weight it.
I
have a great head. It'll
happen.
Be real flat, but they'll be
this
great.
This is where you blame like improper glassware cleaning.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
From
Natty
our
next. Green.
Oh.
JK.
Can I see the bottle real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris's face.
Spicy.
Like,
I love it.
Part of me wishes, like, I need to
oh my god.
I need to do, like, Instagram videos, like, while we love.
Of Chris drinking beer.
Like,
Anthony,
I need, we just need a series or, like, a YouTube series or something of just that.
And then we just show the bottle at the end.
Yeah. Jeff, this may have just beat the gingerbread stout.
Oh, my
god.
Really?
This is awesome.
This is really good. And there's coffee in it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There is. Okay, so what did you say was in this?
So, coffee.
Okay.
Vanilla bean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tarragon.
Okay.
Cardamom. Cayenne pepper.
Okay.
Delicious. Instantly.
Cow nibs.
Chocolate.
Instantly, what's this natural chocolate?
When anybody says cardamom, I love it. Cardamom is one of my favorite.
So what's that? I'm getting almost like a. It's not quite a berry taste, but a kind of like cranberry.
I get
that
too.
It's good.
Is that the
cardamom?
Yeah.
We're drinking a slightly warmer bottle, which is fair. As some people drink a crisp, cold one, which is odd.
This seems like
cinnamon.
A warm bottle.
There's no cinnamon, but it should definitely be drank almost about the temperature.
Now. I was getting some like ginger. On the back end, almost. Yeah.
So you'll combine a little bit of profiles for sure, and then you'll adjunct it to your profile.
But
that you're used to.
There's a lot of cayenne.
Definitely.
I get the cayenne.
Definitely get that pepper.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
pepper brings it all together.
Right there at the end.
A little bit of a fruity taste, a definite chocolate taste. It tastes like I love going to the health food store.
Yes.
Getting the dark chocolate
with
cranberry
the
cayenne peppers
in
it. It tastes like just like that. This is a good beer, man. Yeah. Cheers to that. We don't do this very often, but
awesome.
One more.
It sounded just like the guy at the pool stick, but way better and less.
That beat is ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
It's a cool beer. So like, we're definitely a brewery that's been building upon the brand. But we're also a brewery that looks on the outside, and we've been, you know, building upon this. So we have a sour program that we've started. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, great bread beers. We have great kettle sour beers.
Yeah.
So to kind of cusp on this episode and say what's in the future for A&B is that we're still going to produce really great beers and upcoming beers. I briefly talked about Cucumber Winterweiss.
Mm-hmm.
But with our barrel program that we always get overlooked for, this is a beer that was only released in Boone. Unless you came to Boone or you had someone that came to Boone to bring it down the mountain or an instance like this, mm-hmm. we would have known about it. The same things will probably happen with our sour program. We're still going to stay within our community and we want it to be recognized, but in what format do we use it? So when I talk about beers that are coming up, we have 100% Brett Porter. It's been aged for...
We're definitely be hitting you up for
aged
beer.
For 5 months. We have a sexy-ass fucking 500-milliliter bottle.
100% Brett Porter.
That's called Leo Noir, which means in French, black gold, which is our black gold porter on Brett.
I've never had a dark beer on Brett, like
a porter
or anything.
So the profile of this beer is definitely a tart, aromatic, dark cherry, funky, barnhouse aroma, and you get that subtle... quick sweetness in the front, but then get this dry, clean, roast, sharp chocolate profile that finishes like a porter. So it's like this funky tart porter that's just...
Oh,
did you use Lambicus? Brett Lambicus?
No, this is... So this is our house Brett Strand, so we're talking clean Brett Strand. So
okay.
I'll deter Lambicus to a non-clean strand.
Okay. I figured because you were going cherry.
This is actually the same Brett Strand that's going to be poured to go full circle at Beer Co. for their anniversary party. The same Brett Strand that's on the Brett Saison pineapple.
Oh.
Okay.
That was the actual first full Brett beer on that one, I believe. So we have that one, but the second one that was also in the same time period, maybe a little bit older, keeping it back local, is that we did a Petite Saison aged on Brett with local Asian pears. So there is an actual local farm called Sugary Farms, and they came out of a brewery and they're like, hey, you know, we got extra Asian pears. Do you want them? And I just happened to be nearby, and I'm like, hell yeah, I want
them. We'll do something with that.
And immediately I thought it was just going to be like 40 pounds, and you're like, oh no, I think we have like over 140 pounds. So I was like,
oh my God.
I need every ounce of that, and we'll take it. And Nathan, one of our owners in other brewers, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, this Petite Asian pear, or at that time, Petite Saison, we need to split it. So we broke it apart. So we had a 20-barrel batch. 10 went right immediately on that Asian pear, which is a story in itself. And another one sat still. But recently, this past week, we took that other 10-barrel batch that's been sitting there clean on stainless. I pitched it to 400 pounds, a little over 400 pounds of raspberry puree.
Yeah.
I then pitched our house sour culture. So our house sour barrels that are in our sour room, that culture got pitched to it as well. So we'll have a sour, tart, raspberry saison. That's going to be fucking phenomenal.
We're
getting recognized by more people.
All right. All right.
We got to let you
hold
in.
Hold on.
We got to let you in.
Bombarded by people.
We're recording right now.
Oh.
Hey, Jordan.
This is Jordan from Joymongers.
That's a nice little twist.
It's like, it's like a voicemail.
And this is my normal speaking voice.
with my sweater scarf.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you guys get in here?
We're good like that.
Cloudy with his magic. We got free beer too.
Yeah.
From Quince.
Okay, I have no idea where we stopped, but what I will say is I can't, hopefully I'm not overhyping this beer. But this is really good. I'm not a brewer. I'm a consumer.
You brewed. That's a lie.
I've co-brewed with you. I have never fully brewed my own beer. I have had creative input on beer.
Which, in the future, if everything goes to plan...
Hopefully I will.
With what we're doing with the American Feral, everyone will start brewing.
Yes, but I think you totally just, like, ruined his point.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. and I have... No, that's important, because I have had creative input on beer, but
yes.
I don't totally... Jeff's the technical guy. I'm an artistic guy.
Cool.
So I don't know the technical side. But what I do is I cook a lot. And I just can't get over it. Like, the beer I had today, the Prairie Birthday Bomb. There was lots of adjuncts, and I really like adjuncts in beer. But it was, all of the adjuncts were very individual, and you could taste them. And I feel like we're coming off of this trend of like, okay, can you show me all of your adjuncts? And I feel like we're starting to hit this phase of, okay, now blend those. You know, the way that you do cooking and stuff. And I think this does a really good job of like, I get all of the things that you told me that were in this beer that I wanted to taste, the cayenne, the chocolate, the coffee, are there. But the spices that are in it are blending those together in a way that it's like, okay, well, the coffee's there, but it's not the full coffee flavor. I can identify it, but it's got this smoothness that just blends in with the chocolate. And I get that pepper on the back
end. So what we're talking about.
You're not getting it step by step.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really
meddling together.
That. Yeah. And I'm hoping that that is the trend that we start to see moving forward with it, too. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully people break down their beers and they understand exactly why they're doing or what they're doing. But it's really, you know, when I talked about, you know, we have to use these elements at the right time and the right method, or otherwise you could mess it up.
Your schedule's got to be perfect
so
to
when,
get those.
So when we were doing this beer, we know how to do chocolate, we know how to do coffee. But then it became, was like, well, shoot, we got to throw vanilla bean in there.
Yeah.
How many vanilla bean? How long is it going to sit? Again, it's like grapefruit, but we got to taste it to find out.
Yeah.
You will not want to understand the switching and the swapping of tanks, just to prevent.
That's how you do that. Like, what, like from this, go back to the cooking metaphor. Like, you grab things, you pop them in your mouth, you throw some spices in your mouth, you eat the chicken, you see where everything's.
Yeah, but do I let this fennel burn a little bit longer when I add in this orange zest to this chicken? No, I need to take that fennel out because it, as much as I need to cook that orange zest, that fennel variant that would happen over a cooking period of time will destroy it. So I have to take it out.
Yeah.
So the same way, I need to take this off the vanilla bean so it doesn't get too vanilla.
Yep.
So each aspect got broken down. It got moved. It got unmoved. It sat. It got moved. Everything was perfect. Even with the tarragon and the cardamom.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, we have an amazing beer. Like when we had meetings, because this was actually done at our cidery, and I was like, this beer is great. I need to grab a glass of this uncarbed. I'm going to drink this while we have a meeting. But it was like, when it came time to cayenne pepper, it was like, oh my God, this is we're gonna destroy it. We made this great beer. We're just gonna burn it all. And like literally, when you brew imperial beers, my back hurts just thinking about it. But we brewed enough batches to do 20 barrels of each variant. To achieve that much volume on a 10 barrel system on double batching is god fucking awful.
Yeah.
There's so much work. But anyways, when it came time to cayenne pepper, he was like, oh my God, we're going to ruin it. And then luckily, it was one of those things like we do with everything. If it's cucumber, if it's grapefruit, we have to have this taste value and how we introduce it and how we put it into the beer. And then we say, it's good.
Yeah.
Bottle.
Yeah. It's great because it's not, it doesn't burn. It just gets that sizzle.
Yeah, hopefully it does. It's that, you know, it's our Mexican cake. It's our Prairie Bomb. It's all those people that want to put on their top shelf and put away in a cellar. You know, why can't we make one? I mean, we know the recipe. We know the method. We can achieve it just as well. And, you know, we still get the notoriety because, like you said, or I said, it's like we're in Boone. We keep this to ourselves. I mean, Addie's did it with their sours. They're like, oh, my God, you make amazing sours. Why don't we get this? Well, ultimately, we just keep it for ourselves and we drink it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We only have, like, 20 barrels.
Yeah, so, it doesn't make it that far.
Can't share, and that's the homebrew element. I'm like, I can't share too many. This is really
it's
good beer.
True, so it's just, you know.
I have no idea where we left off this time.
Every time we stop, we end up having like a 2-minute conversation between ourselves.
I love choppy episodes of podcasts though. It's like we got locked in a closet and we're doing like a clips episode.
Yeah, and it's great.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I apologize, and I hope you're enjoying this like fucking randomness as much as we are, because I always say I think my favorite episode we've ever done is the late night episode.
Yes!
We did it after our baking with beer episode.
We doubled up, so we got drunk and then recorded a second episode.
We were already a little schwasty, and then we drank, and it just got out of hand and it was ridiculous, and we just came from a bottle shop, like, beer party.
Yeah.
So obviously we kind of started off after a couple beers. people are really excited to watch
us. I think he wants us to honk the horn
we
on the tractor
have
trailer
a
we're driving.
So, do you guys have any events? I know it's a little bit of a drive. An hour, if you're local to Greensboro, isn't that bad.
It's it's a lovely city.
So, I mean,
yeah.
If I had to highlight one event, which I've heard a fair amount, even from people that have never been to their brewery but kind of know it, or even people who don't know it. So we'll actually have our Float Fest. Float Fest, we'll get some tubes, we'll go down the river. It's on a Sunday. After Fauna Flora State of Origin in Morganton, I would make use of both of those because we'll be pouring at Fauna Flora State of Origin. We'll actually be the only time I think maybe you can try the Petite Saison on local Asian pair on draft.
Okay.
But that Sunday, which is our Float Fest, we do it with Wahoos, which is a rafting company.
What's the date?
Sunday, June 12th.
June 12th. Yeah, that's my birthday weekend.
So
I got a lot of things happening around my birthday.
Dude, I mean,
we always get tipping for my birthday.
I've been telling people I can basically drown you in beer. I can consistently keep throwing cans at you until you would either die from cans hitting your head or from drinking them.
That's a good proposition.
It's a great time. It's a fun time. I mean, literally, it's kind of almost a lazy river. You're drinking beers. We have a float with, our cans. We'll actually have our Bobbin cans at that point. We'll have every Coors, Bodhi, Longleaf, Blonde, Porter. We'll have all those beers flowing down the river. And at the very end, well, guess what? There's more beer. There's our food truck with pizza, tacos, music, art. It's all encompassing. And it's going to be a really awesome event. So, yeah, Float Fest, June 12th is very dynamic. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Again, it's another event where profits go back into the community for that one.
Absolutely.
Well, when that gets closer, we will definitely be posting more about it. You guys will have an event on Facebook, I hope?
Yeah, we have a group event where people can join or say they're interested in.
Perfect. So we can share that from our Facebook page, which leads me to asking you guys and hoping that you like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Untapped. We're always rating the beer.
As well as A&B.
Yeah, A&B is Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Instagram. We're also under Craft Beer. We're also incorporating American Craft Beer Week. We're doing a Beer Pioneer program. So anything socially, if you do hashtag we can so you can, something I didn't talk about with our nonprofits going back to every can that we do. So A&B is definitely a social aspect anywhere that you do or see, even through if you wanted to invest back into the company. It's the slogan is don't just ingest but invest. And we also have that hop contract, which is on the publicly traded company under hops.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Most
importantly, go out and tell five of your friends that we exist. And if you don't have five friends, please feel free to rate and review us on iTunes.
Or you can be our friends.
Yeah.
Be your friends.
I'll be your
Come
friend.
Come out and get drinks with us. Yeah, we'll be your friend. You like beer, obviously. And that's like the number one qualification.
And my offer still stands that if you go on to iTunes and you give us 5 stars.
You got a t-shirt waiting for you.
You give us an awesome...
You can't tell them to give us 5 stars. They can just read.
Okay, sorry. But 5 stars is would be awesome.
It's preferable. We're just not violating terms of service.
Okay.
True.
It's
and
not a
problem.
You gotta
we need
say
a keyword, because Brian gave us a keyword.
You can pick the keyword.
Give us
if
a keyword.
They add your keyword to our rate and review...
They get a t-shirt.
They get a t-shirt.
Sorry. And a growler fill.
Whatever,
whatever
you
my
want.
Is.
I'll say Spodey. It's a tough one, but it's something that it's very obscure. I'll keep it with Spodey.
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 It's Spoety.
Yeah.
Perfect.
See? I like it. It's a good word.
So yeah, go on iTunes and subscribe and rate and put that in the comments and you get a t-shirt and a growler fill of whatever I have on tap.
Thank you so much. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate
this has been super fun. And thank you guys for tuning in, as always.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.